Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Please open your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 4. John, chapter 4. I'm going to turn off the heaters real quick. So while you are turning to John, chapter 4, I want to just acknowledge Maria. I don't know if you know Maria, but she was our worship leader for a few years, 2 years ago. When Corona hit, she was not able to come to Ibitaki. She lives far away, and she was able to return last month. And today she was able to be our worship leader. And oh, it's so good. Yeah, welcome back. Welcome home. Yeah, so good. So awesome. I was at Tamaki's graduation ceremony yesterday. Yeah, it was good to have a ceremony. All the parents are in one place, masks. Well, everybody was still wearing masks, but it was voluntary. But yeah, that was good. And remember, the reason Tamaki joined us was in order to practice his English and to have English conversation, and then hopefully it paid off. Hopefully, yeah, you'll pass the exam. So anyways, wonderful. Okay, our scripture is two verses. Actually, it's 42 verses, but we'll just read together two of the verses, and then I'll explain the story. So let's read together there on your screen, the woman said. Ready? The woman said, I know that Messiah is coming, and when he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, am he. The very words of God. Amen. So, you know, we have the word Messiah, and Jesus Christ means, the word Christ means Messiah. So Jesus, Messiah. We sing songs about Jesus, the Messiah. And Akiko-san is, she often sings the song at Christmas time, Handel by Handel, the Messiah. And so I want to explain what is the meaning of the word Messiah. It comes from a story in John chapter 4 about Jesus who meets a Samaritan woman. So let me read the story for you. John chapter 4. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. And Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. And what you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, am he." So, amazing story. And the climax of the story is what I just read for you and what we read together. There's a discussion, a conversation about religion and life and water. And at the climax of this conversation, Jesus says, "I am him. I am the one that you're waiting for. I am the Messiah." Now, let me just say, Messiah is not an English word. Messiah is a Hebrew word. And literally, the actual meaning means anointed one, the anointed one. And what does anointing mean? Anointing means to pour oil on someone's head. That's to be anointed. It means to have a certain ceremony performed on you. Why? In Israel, please stay with me, there were two people who were anointed, who had oil poured on them. The king of Israel and the high priest. Why? Oil was an image of God's Spirit. So when the king became the king, on the day he was crowned, he had oil poured on his head as an image of God's Spirit coming on him. So that with the power of God's Spirit, he can rule, he can judge, he can lead, he can order the people of God and the kingdom of God. So he provides the boundaries. He provides the safety. He provides the economy and the movement of the people, the leadership. And he does that with the Spirit of God. Okay? That's why he needs the anointing. And the second person who is anointed is the high priest. And so when he becomes the high priest on the day, he's anointed by the oil. Because what he does is he provides the life. The king provides the order, the place. But the priest fills the people of God with the life of God. Why? Because through the priest, God blesses his people. So if God blesses the priest, God is blessing his people. Because the priest represents God to the people. So when the priest gets the presence of God, the people can receive the presence of God. When the priest gets the life of God, the power of God, the people can get the power of God. Does that make sense? So the king gives the order to the society, and the priest gives the life to society. Okay? And that's why they're called the anointed ones. Now, here's the problem. In the 700 years before Christ, in the year 689 BC, the kingdom of Babylon and Assyria, they came and attacked Jerusalem. They conquered Israel. No more king. No more priest. And then, a few hundred years later, the king of Persia and the Medes, and so they let Israel come back. Now, there was a new king, but he's not really the king because he's not independent. So he's the kind of king, but not so much. And then they had a new temple, and the temple had a new high priest. And so you had a king, but not really powerful. And you had a priest, but the problem with the priest was they were corrupted. They were taking money and bribes. They were treating the poor unfairly. And so the people and the prophets, they're saying, we have the king and we have the priest, but God, give us a new Messiah. Not two people, but one who is both a king and a priest. And so the prophets are waiting, and God is telling the prophets, yeah, just a moment. I'm sending the Messiah who will be both the king and the priest, who will be a leader and a healer. Right? And so Jesus comes, and here's what happens. Jesus is teaching and preaching and feeding and healing, and many people are following him like a leader. And people are thinking, is this like a king? Is he coming to give us a new kingdom? Like a Messiah? And not only that, he's giving life to people, bread from heaven. He's cleansing lepers. He's cleansing unclean people like a priest, like a Messiah. And so people are asking him, right? Oh, every day, Yeshua, are you the Messiah promised by God? And you know what? Jesus never said he's the Messiah. The Jews, the Israelites, the Judeans, they're all asking, are you the one? Are you the Messiah? Never said, never answered it, right? Except one day, he's traveling in a foreign place, not in Israel. He's in Samaria to a foreigner. And she asks him, we're waiting for the Messiah. And that's the person he says, yeah, I'm the one. You're talking to him. It's crazy because the Jews and the Samaritans, they did not get along. It's kind of like the Japanese and the Koreans. The Japanese and Koreans are very similar. Very similar. The food, the culture. But there is a history. And there is a past where Japan did terrible things, and then Korea recently, there's evidence of abduction and kidnapping. And so there's a kind of past between Japan and Korea. They don't really like each other so much, right? Same thing with Israel and Samaria. They have a common past. They have a shared history, but there's some bad, bad things that happened. But Jesus is in Samaria talking to someone, and he says, I'm the one that Samaritans are waiting for. I'm the one that Israel's waiting for. And so John gives us the meaning of Messiah. That's more than the king or the high priest. So, short story. My sons are playing Lego. Do you know Lego? The block, you know, blocks. My son built a house. And the house, the Lego house, is the copy of our house. So he put the kitchen, and then the dining table, the sofa, the TV. Then there's the washitsu, the playroom. And it's based on our house, the first floor. He said, oh, Mom, look at the house I made. It's our house. And my wife said, oh, it's our house, but only the first floor. Can you make the second floor? So my son goes, okay, yeah. So he builds the second floor on top of the first one, the Lego. He puts the bedrooms, the beds, the study room, the bookshelves, you know? And then our house also has a veranda, a balcony, where we hang the laundry. And so he built the veranda, you know, for the laundry. And he had the first floor. But then he built the second floor, the balcony. That's what John is doing in John chapter 4. Messiah, the king, that's the first floor. But he's saying there's more. The Messiah is all, there's more. The second floor, the study room, the bedroom, you know, that's what he's doing. So it's more than king and priest. It's living water. It's the prophet. And it's the Savior. Oh, yeah. So, the living water. I read about it, verse 10, verse 13. Jesus is saying, I'm giving you the living water. Now, he's not saying something original. Jesus is saying something that has been said for hundreds of years. The psalmists in Psalm 42, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. So my being is thirsty, as if God is the water that my soul is thirsting for. And then there's the prophet Isaiah, that God is saying to anyone who's thirsty, God is telling you, if you're thirsty, come, all of you who are thirsty, come to the water. That's the prophet Isaiah. And then another place, Isaiah says, you know what? God will have compassion. They will not hunger or thirst. One day, for he who has compassion on them will lead them and guide them to the springs of water. Who is the spring of water? Who is this eternal water, living water? Well, Jeremiah, another prophet, God is telling his people, oh, it's terrible. My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me. They have rejected me. The fountain of living. I was their fountain. I was their source of life. But they've rejected me. And the second thing is they were digging up their own. They rejected the source of their life and they tried to find their own sources of life. They hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. And so God says, I am the living water to Jeremiah. And Jesus says, yeah, he was talking about me. So, living water. What's the opposite of living water? Anyone? Opposite of living water? Dead water. Yeah, right? What's dead water? Dead water means there's no fresh water coming in. So imagine a puddle on the ground after the rain, right? After hours, it's there, and on the top of the water, there's dirt and a film, right? Why? There's no fresh water coming in, and the old water is not coming out. So here's the image. You know, in the Japanese temples, in Japanese gardens, there's the kind of bamboo fountain. And the source from that fountain is like a river, right, somewhere. That is living water. That's the meaning. So next time you go to a Japanese garden or temple, you look. Jesus. Jesus is the fresh, living source of life, hope, satisfaction. He's the living water. It means that when you go to Jesus, you will always have fresh life. You can never use all of the power that God gives you. So if you get energy from God, if you get joy from God, if you get peace, you know what? You'll use it, you'll get tired, you'll get weary, you'll become weak, but if you ask God, He'll give you more. Again, again, every day. His mercies are new every day. It's living water, fresh, every day. And Jesus says, I can give it to you. Why? Because I am Messiah, right? The living water. Okay, that's enough right there, right? More. There's more. Yeah. She goes, she's having the conversation, and, you know, I'm the living water. I'll give you something you'll never thirst. And she's like, okay, all right, yeah, I get it. All right, give me the living water, sure. And she's going to go back. She's finished, right? It doesn't say that, but this is my imagination. She's going away. Okay, you have the living water. Wonderful. Give it to me. And then Jesus says, yeah, go call your husband. And she stops. It's the key word for her life. She looks at him and she says, I don't have a husband. And Jesus says, yeah, I know. You were married 5 times, and now the one you're living with, that's your boyfriend. You're just sleeping with him. What does she do? She says, do I have it? Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. What verse? She says in one of the verses, I can see that you are a prophet. Now, what does the prophet do? The prophet speaks God's truth. Okay? The prophet says the word of God. What's the word of God? It's the truth. The prophet is the friend who gives you the mirror and says, look at this mirror and don't stop looking. Because all of us, what we're trying to do is we're trying to hide the mirror. We want to get away from the mirror. But you need a friend who will come to you and show you this is who you are. But if it's Jesus, he's showing you the mirror not because he hates you, he wants you to feel depressed, he's not trying to make you regret so that you'll run away. He wants to show you the truth so that you can heal. My friend, I was talking to my friend yesterday, he started going to a therapist, a psychiatrist, Christian. And I said, how did it go? And he said, amazing. I finally understand that I have so much pain and grief. And it's because when I'm in certain situations with my family, especially with my family, I try to avoid certain people because they make me feel so much pain. So the way that I am with my family, I separate myself. I'm only talking to certain people because if I go to them, they make me feel negative, shame, unworthy. They're competing and I'm not good enough. And in therapy, I finally was able to understand it. And so now I don't have to be afraid. Now I have some work to do. But instead of avoiding certain things, my fears, my regret, my pain, I have to go to that. And it's when I face the pain, and when I go into the grief and the hardship and the dark, that's how I can heal my heart. Does that make sense? That's what the prophet does. That's what Jesus came to do. He says, call your husband. And what he says is, look at yourself. Stop avoiding the truth. Why? You know, in verse 6, it says there, it was about noon. Some of you are from places where you need to draw water. You don't get water at noon. It's too hot, right? When do you get water? Early in the morning, when it's cool. Why is she getting water at noon? She's avoiding people. Everybody knows she had 5 husbands, and now she's living in sin. So she doesn't want to go with all the other women. She's going by herself at noon, so she doesn't have to deal with all these people, right? She has shame. And there she meets Jesus. And Jesus holds up the mirror. And he gives her living water. And he gives her him. He says, I am the Messiah. I'm here for you. She accepts the living water. And then she transforms. What happens? It says later, verse 28, then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come, see the man who told me everything I did. Could this be the Messiah? She was avoiding people all her life, and now she's running to the people. And she's not ashamed. He told me everything I did. You know what I did. You know what I'm doing. You know my sin. And she goes from hiding herself to showing herself. Look at the end of the story, verse 39. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him, Jesus, because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. She was now able to talk about her pain, her problems, her suffering. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them. He stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. She became a missionary when at first she was antisocial. Please hear me. When we come to church, we're not trying to improve little by little. When we come to church, we come to meet Messiah Jesus. And we're not changing little by little. We're transforming from glory to glory. He's not making us better. He's making us new. How do you know you have met the Messiah? It's when you go from one to another, complete opposite direction. And when it comes to your sin, you're not ashamed. Look at what I did, but look what Jesus has done. I'm not ashamed. Now, you don't tell everybody, this is my problem, and here's, you know, all my dirty laundry, here's how terrible my family is, and you don't need to do that. But a Christian is not afraid to talk about his or her pain to someone in the family of God. Pastor, close friend, a brother, sister. Because of the Messiah. He's the prophet. Finally, Messiah means Savior. Messiah is living water. Messiah is the prophet who shows us our true self. Messiah is the Savior. Where do we get that? They have this kind of thing, this conversation. You know, Jesus says, call your husband. And she says, I don't want to talk about that. Let me change the topic. She switches the topic to theology, history, religion. And she starts talking about, oh, you're Jews. You worship in Jerusalem. And we're Samaritans. We worship on Mount Gerizim. That mountain and that mountain. Mount Zion, Mount Gerizim. You know? And she starts talking about religion. And Jesus, he's patient. He answers her religion question. But he goes to the truth. You see, she wants to argue so she can avoid the truth. Jesus answers and directs her back to the truth. So her question, maybe you're wondering, who cares? Jerusalem, one mountain, another. And then Jesus says, yeah, you're right. Who cares? She's talking about the place. He talks about the person. She talks about where to have religion. Jesus talks about who to worship. Do you see what he did? It's not important, the place, the religion, the form. Jesus says it's not where or when, it's who and how. You worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Why? Why? Because the issue is not worship. The issue is salvation. What you worship shows how you are saved. What do I mean? So, Katoken, on Wednesday, I had my after-school Bible study with high school students. And it's called Katoriku Kyokai Kenshu, Katoken. Yeah. And so, okay, here's what happened. The high school boy comes in. And he says, today I want to have a discussion about adultery. Yeah, we have a small child here. I'll keep it PG. Adultery. So he goes, yeah. I say, okay, what will we talk about today? Kyou wa ne, adultery nitsuite. Discussion shitaite. Anyway, oh, okay. So there's five students, 30 minutes. What is adultery? Is it wrong? What's the difference between adultery and cheating? Uwaki. And why? And so who cares? It's just marriage. It's just an agreement between two people. It's like a business contract. Is it important? It's natural. In fact, all the celebrities in, you know, Japan or wherever, the famous people, it's common. When you read a story about adultery, you're like, yeah, right? It happens. So So 30 minutes of this discussion, high school students talking back and forth. I love it. I'm smiling the whole time. After 30 minutes, I say, okay, let's get the Bible. Everybody gets the Bible. And I show them Exodus chapter 20, 10 commandments, the foundation of Western society, civilization, and law. 10 commandments. Number 7, do not commit adultery, right? And everybody said, oh yeah, okay, wakatta ne, soe ne. And then we go to Matthew chapter 5, Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is talking about the 10 commandments. Jesus says what? He says, you have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you, it's Jesus, if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you are guilty of adultery. Yeah, and you will go to hell. He says that. And he says, if you have adultery, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It's better to go to heaven with one eye than going to hell with two eyes. Read it. It's there. You commit adultery not with your body, but with your heart, with your eyes. And when the boys, the high school boys, they read that first time, what's their reaction? Hey, Moody. Moody, 厳しすぎ. It's impossible. I can't keep this law. Yeah. And I said, その通り. It's exactly. It's impossible. You commit adultery every day. You're a high school boy. I know, right? We're all guilty. And they say, Muri. And I said, that's the point. Jesus doesn't say, yeah, if you're a good husband, you don't commit adultery, you'll be a good man, be a good husband, live a good life. Yeah, then you can go to heaven. That's not the message. That's not the Bible. That's not the Ten Commandments. It's not be a good person and then God will accept. No, Jesus said, it's in your heart. And if you're honest with that, you understand, I am sinful. I am a sinner. I am not powerful enough to overcome sin. I need a savior. So then I said, "Ja, skuinushi wa nandaro? What is a savior?" And they said, "Ah, narodo. That's why Jesus is the savior. He saves us from sin. He saves us from the power of sin. He saves us from the power of evil that is holding us." So it's not just adultery, you know. It's greed, pride, jealousy, envy, anger, wrath, judgment, prejudice. We all have it. We're all guilty. That's why we need a savior. And how does Jesus save us? He takes our punishment. The hell that we deserve, he took it. So the heaven that he has, we can receive it. That's the cross. On the cross, Jesus took our hell. And then at Easter, he resurrected so that we can have his life. Right? That's the Messiah. The Savior, the Prophet, the living water. It's all there. He's not just the King, not just the High Priest, not just the living water, not just the Savior, not just the... He's all of it. It's the good news. It's the gospel. Hallelujah. 1,000 hallelujahs. Hallelujah. Okay, if you believe the Messiah, if you receive Jesus Christ, the living water, come, come. Come take the bread. Come take the cup. I want to invite you. The body is, the bread is his body. The drink is his blood. We're going to read it together. This is Jesus from John chapter 6. Let's read. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. My flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the Son who feeds on me will live because of me. Amen. I want to invite you. We'll come up and, we need a song. Is there a song? Shodoku? Yeah, yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, good call. We should do the shodoku. I can't remember shodoku. Disinfectant. That's what it was. Yeah. Oh, good. This is good. Okay. So let's pray, and then I'll invite you to come. Please pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the Messiah, your Son Jesus. Help us to submit to him as our King. Help us to follow him as our high priest. Help us to take him in as our living water. Help us to trust him as our prophet. And help us to believe in him as our Savior. This is our prayer in his name. Amen.